Hey, my name is James Petragallo.
I'm Jimmy Wissman.
Please join us every single Tuesday for Crime in Sports.
So fun.
You like sports?
You don't have to.
Let's just set up a context and find out what an idiot did wrong.
I
what
like
do you
it.
Say?
I'm in.
We're going to do that each and every week. We take an athlete, we break him down, we make fun of everything he's ever done.
Yeah. But in order to do that, we have to build up and tell you all about their career and get you to what, James? To grace.
That's and then
right.
Watch them fall from grace.
Who doesn't
as they inevitably
like that?
Do. Join us. Big criminals, small criminals, sports you've never heard of, doesn't matter. It's the crime, it's the comedy, it's such a good time. Join us every Tuesday for Crime in Sports.
You can join us every Tuesday at PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe on all Apple products.
Find us every Tuesday and laugh at people.
Racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Well, Matt, it's another week. We're here in the Shift and Steer studio in Anaheim, California.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
Good. Getting geared up, getting ready to head out to Monterey soon.
I know. I'm
Are
gonna
you going
miss.
To Monterey?
No, I'm gonna miss it this
like
year.
I should know that.
I know. And you know, the thing is, I've gone for so many years. It's kind of like this year. I went. Nah, I'm not going. That sucks.
You were there last year filming some TV stuff for
somebody. For BBC Europe. We were doing a show called Gentlemen Drivers, and it was cool. I got to do a lot of stuff and see a lot of friends and a lot of people, and got paid to do it, which was always nice.
They're not sending you back.
It was a one-time deal. The show is 6 or 8 episodes, and they came over just to cover that, and that's what it is. It's just gentlemen drivers. Like, they did Dubai, they did Goodwood, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. And so, unfortunately, they got everything they needed. If it gets renewed for another season, maybe they'll come back and do some other racing event over here. And, you know, we can get involved again, but right now it's all on hold.
You know, History Channel, speaking of that kind of stuff, History Channel is doing
their
Car Week programming. It's like their version of Shark Week, you know, but with cars.
Wow. So are they going to do Carnado?
They're going to do Carnado. So last year they did Harley and the Davidsons.
Yes.
You know, they did sort of a reenactment kind of movie, and it was bad. It was fun. It was interesting.
Huge budgets. And,
yeah. So this year they're doing one with Henry Ford and the Dodge Brothers and whatnot, but they're also doing it with with documentary style interviews and stuff. So they've gone to sort of automotive historians and race car drivers. I think Dale Earnhardt Jr. is an executive producer on the whole thing, and I don't know, through some wacky chain of events, I'm in it.
Oh, really?
Interviewed me, and then it was just great. It was just a great thing. So we're not really supposed to talk about it too much, but there's like 20 people listening to this.
Can we say about Richard Rawlings how he's in it too?
I don't think he's in it.
No, he is. He's playing the Dodge Brothers.
No, he's not. He's not. No, not in it as an actor. So they go and they do this documentary kind of thing, and they interviewed a bunch of people, and then they... We're looking for different types of people, different types of personalities.
Why did they want to talk about Fox Body Instincts?
Yeah, and that's what I said. So they were asking things. They're like, what do you think of the Ford flathead engine? I was like, that engine sucks. I was like, I get it. It was iconic. Like, it was a big sort of leap forward, and it did a lot in the hot rodding. But by design, I mean, it's a terrible design. It never really makes any power. It's like, I mean... our buddy Jimmy Shine.
Controversial Matt DeAndrea.
Like Jimmy Shine had his truck, right? That he sold to Barrett Jackson a few years ago. He had like a fully built flathead engine, everything aftermarket.
Put out like 90 horsepower,
but
dude.
But with the supercharger on it, he's like, it makes like 294 or something like that.
Yeah.
Like every with the supercharger, everything was barely getting 300 horsepower, right? So they were asking me, and I was like, this is a shitty design, you know? and it's a terrible engine.
It overheated. It was, yeah.
And then they're like, okay. And the guy, the producer asking the questions, he's like, well, he goes, this isn't a puff piece, but we are leaning a little more toward the positive. And I was like, okay, let me start over.
So tell us what you like about the motor, not what you don't like about the motor.
And they're like, you know what I said? Be honest. They're like, no, don't do that.
To be honest, I've never owned one. So you know what? That's the best thing about that motor. I've never owned one.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, they ask about...
There's a guy outside of the studio right now taking a picture of that car you drove that we're going to talk about later.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because you're illegally parked. He's in a uniform and it says Anaheim Police
Department. Oh, well, that's not my car. And anyway, there's some good stuff in there, and I'm going to give away one little thing, and I know I'm not supposed to, but they interview Mario Andretti as well. And they, you know, after scolding me for being more positive, for not being positive enough, they're like, what do you talk about electric cars? And I said... I like the technology. I like the evolution. As long as I'm never forced to drive it, like that's my only option, right? And then they cut to Mario Andretti. I don't know how it ends up in the actual show, but they cut to him and they go, "What do you think of electric cars?" He goes, "I hope I'm dead by then."
I hope I'm dead by then.
Yeah, so he's out. Yeah, so pretty much he's out on being forced to drive electric cars. So anyway, I think they kick off this car week with like a 3-part kind of documentary series thing. I'm not exactly sure. It's called The Cars That Changed America. And I think I'm in like part 3 or something like that. But I saw the trailer for...
You're in the Yugo section?
I am. I'm definitely not in the flathead Ford section.
Exactly.
So like, you're out. You're out. I saw the trailer for the show, like the reenactment kind of show. Mm-hmm. And what we'll do is I will give you the trailer. We'll post a trailer up on our social media and our Facebook page and on shiftandsteer.com. You can kind of get a little teaser.
Richard Rawlings playing the Dodge Brothers?
I think he plays the monkey or whatever. he plays the Garage Monkey.
That'd be a good name for a shop. Garage Monkeys.
Yeah. Wait, is that the name of a shop?
Is it? No, it's Gas Monkey.
Gas Monkey. I can't believe I forgot that. Like, yes. I feel like I should know that. It's kind of douchey not to know
that. You can say it 3 times before you have to pay a royalty.
Yeah. Okay. anyway, I'm looking forward to the History Week stuff.
Yeah, it's cool. I like it when they do that. And history's been putting a ton of money into programming. Yeah. I'm not just saying automotive. Just programming where they're spending millions of dollars to produce, like you said, Harley and the Davidsons, the Hatfield and McCoys, where it's entertaining history. You know, it's kind of like dumbing down history. It's like, you know, I don't really want to learn, but if I can be entertained at the same time, hey,
that's
more power to you,
like,
man.
Discovery had Shark Week, and History Channel is going to have Michael Phelps can see if he can outswim a Dodge Hellcat.
No, they're not. They're going to have what's his name? Insane Bo or whatever.
Usain Bolt.
Yes. And he's going to race the Hellcat. Yes. Couldn't think of his name, so I came up with one.
Yeah.
See, you got it. It worked.
No, I knew who you were talking about. Because he did a thing at the LA Auto Show years ago.
I think what we need to do, Matt,
Nissan GTR.
Is I think we need to put that up that we are now producing a new thing with Usain Bolt where he's going to be racing the Hellcat.
The Hellcat, yeah.
And they'll be like, you know, he's training right now, and this is not going to be CGI, and he is going to start at the front bumper, so he better win.
That's right.
So when that guy punches it, if he's not winning, he's underneath the car. So
I just saw some clip somewhere where, you know, I hate it when they do the car versus airplane or car versus jet. I was like, it doesn't mean anything to me. Like, I don't get it. And it's kind of a silly
stunt. You mean you've
never
raced a jet?
I just don't get the point, right? And then, like, they try to edit it together like it's such a big thing. But it's just like, I can't imagine anything more boring to film, right? Would be like, you know, so-and-so car versus Cessna. And now it's all like, now it's versus like
Cessna.
Versus like Learjet or fighter jet. Fighter jets are cool. Cars are cool. But I don't see the point of drag racing thing. Anyway,
Well, what about what about
race,
like
it was the car versus the helicopter?
The guys from Nitro Circus versus like one of the top Olympic gymnasts. The flips and the and everything and we'll have judges scoring them.
Well, the difficulty on that one was a 5. I'm giving him a 2.6.
Right. I mean, we could take all Olympic athletes and put them against motorsports and see how it happens, you know?
The car versus plane thing is weird, and I just saw car versus helicopter, and that was weird, too. And I think the car won.
The car won. Yeah. Except for on the lifting and, vertical
right.
lift.
But the launch was like when you try to, like, launch a helicopter from a hover, you know, it pitches the nose almost like straight down, and the rotor basically just drags the helicopter forward because it's the only way to go like
right.
high speed launch. So it looked like that part was kind of cool
dangerous.
To see. You know, that part would look like it was kind of cool to see, but you're like, it's the weirdest launch ever. And the helicopter was kind of, it was pretty low, so you can get it all in the same shot. And when it tipped forward with the rotor going, you know, forward, you're like, oh, it's gonna hit the ground. You know, but
now where do you watch these at? Because
I don't know, like I was just scrolling through something like on YouTube or like Instagram or something like that, and it was like a, you know, 45 seconds of
so you weren't
launch.
Sitting at home
it
eating,
wasn't even an
eating like a thing of Haagen-Dazs ice cream in front of the TV at 2
no,
in the morning.
No, I was probably sitting on the toilet going through Instagram.
They should do that. I wonder if they do that in their deck. You know, it's yeah. like, you know, our viewers are engaged.
I tell you, the 0 to whatever in a helicopter is awful. Like that helicopter just kind of stood there as it tried to move, you know, and then it started going pretty quick. But at that point, I'm sure that.
That's what the guys over in Fallujah and like that say, get this helicopter going, man. You know,
it's yeah, like, it's not zippy off the line.
Yeah.
It's not.
I think that's why they try and go up and then move forward because it's like. So speaking of YouTube and all that, did you hear the big news this week that Facebook is launching a brand new channel to go directly against YouTube?
Yes. And there's a tab, Facebook Watch.
Yes, Watch.
Watch.
And
tab.
And it's like they're creating 30 new programs just for it. And would you believe that 27 of them are automotive related?
That doesn't surprise me. I'm actually a little happy about that.
Well, I just made it up. I just was asking you if you would believe it. But I don't know if there's a single automotive show in there. But I'm sure there's probably something automotive.
Yeah, and YouTube's doing their thing.
Their thing.
And the show that everybody wants to see on the YouTube show and not car related is Karate Kid. And I don't know if you heard about this.
I did. I heard they're recreating Karate Kid.
So on our documentary film division, we have chassis.com.
Uh-huh.
And one of the films, which is not automotive related, is called King of the Underdogs. It's a documentary about the director that did Rocky and the Karate Kid and whatnot. So he came, one of the, like, the director or something came in to the Adam Carolla show with Ralph Macchio.
I was just going to say, wasn't that Ralph Macchio?
Yeah. And then Ralph Macchio came and he's like, we're going to do a Karate Kid show. I forgot the other guy's name. I'm sorry, but...
He's not the star, so you just don't remember.
The bad guy kid.
The blonde-haired guy.
Yeah. And so Ralph Macchio and that guy are in it, and they have, like, rival dojos.
Okay.
And, which is, like, why are they still in the same town? But I love it.
Yeah.
And they're probably, like, across the street, and they're like... They're both too stubborn to move out of, where were they, like San Diego or something at the time? And this Karate Kid TV series, it's going to be awesome. Like, it's already...
I hope they have one in the storyline that's like, you know, well, you know, that one blonde-haired guy, he went off and he spent some time up in Silicon Valley, sold his company, made $1 billion, and his dojo's bitching, man, you know?
Yeah, of course. Like, his is like 3 stories tall.
Yeah.
It's like a... Mercedes dealer, and the other guy's got like a hut with bonsai trees.
Exactly. You know?
But Ralph Macchio was great, and that's going to be an exciting show. And again, not car related, but I feel like they got to have some of those cars in there, right? Because Miyagi gave him the car.
That's true. Miyagi gave him the car. So
right,
and a bonsai tree.
And the bonsai tree. Yeah.
So
but then like movie 3 or 9 or whatever, he planted the tree on
yeah,
the cliff.
That's true. But I don't know. You know what? They'll probably forget about the car. They'll probably like make it all about karate and about life experience and
stuff
like that.
I think that's an important part. Like if Macho's not driving around in that car, paying a little homage to his old little buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
So.
And he's going to have to like train some kid and the kid's going to be shy and he's going to go to prom. He's like, I got the perfect costume for you. You're going to go as a shower.
That's a shower.
That's a shower, because that's what he with Ralph Macchio wore.
God, I forgot about that.
Anyway.
I thought he'd go as a Karate Kid with a black belt and kick everybody's ass at the big fight scene.
That's kind of like Adam Carolla's move. Like, he's gone to like one of Jimmy Kimmel's like costume parties, mm-hmm. and he didn't have anything, so he just wore a racing suit and a helmet. He's just like, oh, I'm Adam, the race car driver.
Yeah. They're like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, why didn't you just bring a mic along and go, I'm the podcaster?
Yeah,
it'd be a much easier uniform.
That would have been a lot easier if he just wore like his plaid shirt.
Just get one of those Mr. Microphones next time and go,
you
know.
Headphones or something on and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. Just wear the headphones.
No plug.
See, he needs to talk to us before he does that. You know, those are big life decisions and Adam needs to talk to us about those things. So speaking of driving cars...
Yeah, so...
You made a big racket when you pulled up here this morning, and...
Did you even hear that?
Yeah, we did. I heard you revving the motor. What do you mean, do we hear it? Rum, so rum. I'm in the soundproof studio, and I heard it.
Soundproof studio. We're in the bathroom over at Bond Speed Wheels.
There's better acoustics in here.
There's better acoustics in here. Last year at the SEMA show, the guys had Borla in their booth. They had this great Camaro. It was all wrapped, Borla inside. It had... KW suspension, coilovers, you know, they're full exhaust, long tube headers on it. It's the 6-speed manual Corvette V8 Vortec supercharger, but obviously all wrapped and stuff for like a SEMA car. And they decided
it's like a in your face graphics Borla splashed on the quarter panels.
Yeah,
big red
I mean
stripes.
It looks like a race car, right? Like you wouldn't, you know. And they decided to turn that into a press car. And so I was talking to the guys at their agency, and David Borla is like, "Hey man, you want to drive the car?" I was like, "Yeah, let's do it." And needless to say, I get noticed everywhere. And,
no.
And like, so it's got this crazy dark tint because it's like, it's a SEMA car, so you can get away with like limo tint.
Right.
Right. And these new cars have such a high belt line and such a small window opening, you know. And
putting your arm out the window like
there's
that.
There's no way I could.
Doesn't happen.
No, it's higher than my ear. I can't do it. I even got the seat up high so I can kind of get this view like. You know, it's almost like it's a chopped roof because of the small window opening. And then when you put, like, a Borla sticker on the front windshield, you have less front windshield, you know. So you kind of figure it out.
Here in the studio, he hates those kind of stickers because they're right in his line of vision.
Oh, yeah, but Rick's 6'9".
Yeah, I know.
He's, like he's got
6'5", and he's...
he's literally a foot taller than we are. And, I got the seat cranked up so I can see out of there. So it's a cool-looking car. I'm pretty sure nobody can see me in it. And it definitely stands out.
It's autonomous.
But it's really not one of these things where, like, a cop pulls you over and like, hey, man, we caught you doing 90. But like, no, that was a completely different Camaro. Like, no, it wasn't.
No, it was this one. We
it was
saw
the one with
it.
The giant Borla on the side of it. But it sounds good. I tell you, they did a fantastic job. You know what I can equate it to? You drove... like a Jaguar F-Type R or an SVR?
Yeah, I drove the SVR Range Rover.
The Range Rover.
And it has a great exhaust note.
This is more like those modern Jags than anything else I've seen. It is definitely loud. When you get on it, it is loud. But at cruising speeds... it's almost like it's off.
Well,
there's no drone. You don't hear it. And I know it's all designed for the car, but they did a good job.
Well, every SEMA show car I've ever built has used a Borla exhaust. The GM truck that won the design award, the Ford truck, the Mustang, the Jaguar, and even the Celine Thunderbird that we did since that was, I mean, because we put a full belly pan and a diffuser and everything, so there wasn't like a pre-made exhaust for it. And Alex Borla just sent us over a bunch of bins and tubing, and they're really clean slip joints that they have,
yeah.
And they're mufflers, and we made the exhaust. And I remember, along what you're saying, is every single time, is he said, Borla's all about not having that resonation. You know, when
yeah.
you're going down the road, and it's just like rattling you, because there's
yeah.
so much resonated sound throughout the car.
They figured it out, and you know, we had them on CarCast, so we can talk a little bit more over there about what some of their new products and stuff are, but they're all about airflow, and
mm-hmm.
we know them as an exhaust company, but now they're doing intake
right.
and exhaust, and they bought, years ago, they bought this fuel injection company, TWM, or something like that.
Yeah.
And they do, like, the H-stack injection and, like, carb to EFI conversions, and, you know, we've seen a while back, we saw in New York, we went by the Roush booth when we were at the, where were we in New York?
Oh, yeah, at the show where we did our shift and steers
yeah.
back in Syracuse, New
York. Syracuse,
yes,
right?
Syracuse and, Nationals.
Know, Roush has the Coyote
engine,
the 5-liter
Coyote with
the 8-stack injection.
Yes.
That's basically like a Borla, and
mm-hmm.
that's their injection on it. So they've got that going on, but now they've invested heavily into carbon fiber, and they're putting a lot of emphasis on that as well. This particular car has like a carbon fiber engine cover, some dress-up pieces, but it's got carbon fiber tips on the exhaust, and carbon fiber doesn't really like constant heat like that, so they have sort of this like a heat, like diffuser on the exhaust. It's a cool tip with a carbon fiber outer, so you can get sort of
it's like a
fiber.
Ring, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a carbon, it basically has carbon fiber tips on the exhaust, but it has like a little bit of a metal insert that with it, like air around it.
Are they big tips?
They're not that huge. They're not like giant.
They're not fake. They're nice, good size, but not fake.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They're not Hollywood tips.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, it looks good. It's fun to drive around. I like that the past few years we're starting to see, maybe a little more than a few years, starting to see the supercharger companies coming out with like black powder coating on their superchargers. It can make them look kind of an OE look. So it's got a black Vortec supercharger on it.
Yeah, well, I think, there's a little bit of, with the, we've seen it in wheels where everybody wants to go with powder coated. You know, it's kind of like at a point, if you chrome everything, it just, or polish it, it just kind of all just blends together.
Yeah.
And you need some separation. You need some contrast. And even like where everything's black, there again, you still need contrast. You need to have some brushed parts or some. So that's where all that grew out of. And it does. It looks good.
Yeah.
I think, didn't you use a black supercharger on the car you're building?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I'm using a Pro Charger on mine, and they started offering black, and they kind of made the kit all custom for me in black and the bracketry and stuff like that. It's good. It looks good. Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it gives it more of a sinister race look, but it also adds a little contrast if you do it right.
And the bolts around the supercharger that hold it together are not black, so it has a little bit of a contrast, like some accent items.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about. You've got to have some hardware or something like that where it's, it's like on one of the cars I built, we smoothed the block, painted it all body color, and mm-hmm. the valve covers are body color, but then the manifold's polished, and then there's brushed parts, and it's because if you get all one color, it starts looking like the 80s when they would monochrome everything.
How many wheels do you guys deliver now that are just straight up polished versus some sort of powder coating? Or
I think nowadays it's 50-50.
Yeah,
I mean, it's really gotten to be where powder coat has become so strong, and all colors, all different types of things, and we're doing a lot more brushed and cleared now too, where we brush it and clear coat it, because that adds a little contrast, for the guy who doesn't want to do a black wheel or a gold wheel or a
So on the wheels you made for me for my Mustang, we've mm-hmm. got that dirty gold in the center,
yes,
and then the lip is brushed,
mm-hmm.
And then I believe you did a satin clear over the whole thing.
Right.
So it's brushed with a satin clear on it.
And so it's not a big shiny. It's just got a nice technical look.
But it looks great because that dirty gold has a little bit of texture in it. And then you can see the grains in the brushed barrel, you know, with the satin clear over it.
Just don't get any brake fluid on it and you're golden, you know?
Apparently, that's what you're not supposed to do.
It can drip on there, but just get it off right away. Like, don't leave it sitting there, for a whole SEMA show.
Yeah, for a whole SEMA show.
So, hey, speaking of Camaros, the big word out of Chevrolet just yesterday is that the ZL1 Camaro is going to be used in the NASCAR Cup Series next year, which... You know, you and I were talking about that, Matt. I mean, I cannot remember for the life of me. I haven't Googled it or anything like that, but I've never seen a Camaro in NASCAR, ever. I mean, going clear back. Back in the 50s, there weren't any Camaros in NASCAR.
No, there weren't. There weren't any
but
Camaros.
No Camaros, no Mustangs. Now, the IROC series had Camaros.
Yeah.
And that, you know, when I was growing up, I remember I loved those with the big, huge trash can flares. And you'd see Al Unser or, you know, Andretti or what, you know, whoever's name splashed on them.
Trans Am had them as well.
Yeah. And Trans Am. And, you know, but, you know, never in NASCAR. So it's kind of interesting to see that because it's a real swoopy body style.
It's interesting timing. I don't think this was done on purpose, but... NASCAR unveiled, you know, their Camaro, and then our friends at Burton Racing that run Trans Am series, they're out racing right now, and they unveiled their new Camaro body on the car. It was probably, it's got to be some kind of like.
Do you think it could be a marketing thing?
You know, well, I know the rules like with Trans Am are. They don't want you to run a body that's too old, you know, like a C5. Because when Adam Carolla raced with Burton Racing, when he they had a C5 Corvette body and a C7 Corvette body. And they're like, C5's too old, you got to get rid of it. And they're like, all right, let's get a move to the Camaro body. And so they're going to run the C7 body, which is new, and the Camaro body, which is new. And, I was a little surprised to hear that as far as Trans Am, those bodies, the Camaro body has better aero than the Corvette body.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That says everything right there. Yeah. Plus, with the ZL1 package in production, that car comes with like 670 or 650 horsepower.
Yes.
So it gives the baseline for all that stuff.
Ooh, fun fact, I'm going to drive a Camaro ZL1 at the end of the month.
There you go.
I just got an email yesterday about it saying, hey, you want it? There's a ZL1, but with some kind of other package that comes with it. So you can get it with a manual or an automatic.
Okay.
And the Borla Mustang or Camaro that I'm driving now is a manual with the aftermarket supercharger. So the ZL1, I'm going to get it with the new 10-speed transmission that they co-developed with Ford. So the new 2018 Mustang and the Raptor have a 10-speed transmission. And now that same transmission, I'm sure configured a little differently, is in the ZL1 Camaro. So I'm going to try that paddle shift.
I remember when I was real little, I wanted a 10-speed.
Yeah. In your car?
No.
You didn't like buy a 10-speed and stick it in the back of your truck?
I just wanted a 10-speed.
In the back of your El Camino?
Now I'm going to want a 10-speed again. See? Yeah. And, after a while, then you'll go, nah, it's no fun. I want a BMXer.
Yeah.
So, but the... the ZL1's a cool car. I mean, it's, I will say for my liking, I saw one the other day going down the street.
Yeah.
It's got a little too much gingerbread on it, you know. It's like, kind of like, come on, man. You know, let's strip it down, make it a little bit more mean. But I know the average consumer's not, you know, I'm sure they've done tons of focus groups. And
on those cars, lots of aero. You know, they're definitely building in. Finally, we're having muscle cars where it's not just pen to paper. It's just, you know, they're like, can we get a little more downforce?
Oh, you mean R&D, research and development? No, yeah, definitely. But it's going to be interesting because instead of just a Ford and Chevy, you know, that old Ford versus Chevy, it's going to be Ford versus Chevy versus Camry.
Yeah,
you know, on the NASCAR track, you know, so. Because, I mean, Toyota has come in strong in NASCAR with all that. And they just, I mean, I think that's why they needed to come up with a car that would be, it's not a brick, you know, because for years, I mean, you look all through the 80s and, I mean, look at those bricks they were running, you know, those Luminas and the
every time
Monte
I watch
Carlos.
Days of Thunder.
Exactly.
See, those things rolling around. Every time I watch Cars, the movie, and they go to Richard Petty with the mustache in the car, like the grill mustache.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of the brick, right? It's kind of very squared off. God bless Pixar.
Now, what movie is this? I don't think I've ever seen
it. It's called Cars.
Oh, there's a movie called Cars from Pixar?
It's animated.
I'll check it out sometime.
It's the best.
I don't watch many movies, you know.
This is more than a movie. It's an animation.
It's an animation.
I don't know when they started being called animations, but they're cartoons.
They came out with anime first, then animation.
Yeah, they're cartoons.
So so NASCAR should be interesting with the introduction of those cars. And, you know, I don't know. According to Harvick, you know, his competitor who drives Chevys all the time is not good for the sport. Did you hear that?
Oh, I saw the headline. I didn't read the article.
And
what's that noise about?
Well, that Harvick was saying that that Dale Earnhardt Jr. is not good for the sport because he doesn't win enough, and he's like one of the most popular drivers and on all this cross promotion and stuff. And they, you know, well, why don't they have somebody that wins more? And it's like, well, you know what? It's kind of like there's a lot of guys in football that sell the most jerseys or the most, and that doesn't mean they're you have the highest stats. It's you know, you got to embrace what you can get. If you can get, if you're promoting a sport of any kind of racing, I mean, you look at drag racing. Some of John's daughters are, you know, super popular. They're not the most winningest funny car and top fuel drivers, but they sure are popular because they've, you know, kind of broke out. But but I mean, it's you know, it's one of those things. I don't know why he's bashing him.
I don't know.
Is he bashing him, Matt?
I don't know.
Well, when he gets in that Camaro,
somebody's upset.
Maybe he's going to beat him.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
What else going on? Heading to Monterey.
We're heading to Monterey. We had our buddy Pete Brock stop by the other day. Pete Brock.
Is he doing anything useful? Or is he just sitting in Vegas and just, you know.
He got a sweet house in Vegas, by the way. Outside of Vegas.
It's in. Help me here. What's the name of the
Henderson?
City? Henderson.
There. Maybe it is. I don't
know. Yeah, no, it's in Henderson, I think.
Pete Brock, if you don't know, is the guy behind the BRE cars, the Brock Racing Enterprise cars. He is the designer of the Shelby Daytona Coupe, worked with Carroll Shelby back in the day. And then he went to GM and designed the 63 split-window Corvette.
Probably, in my opinion, one of the best-looking cars ever.
Yeah, fantastic.
I'm not a Corvette guy, but that one, good-looking car.
Yeah. And you should have bought one because they're worth a lot of money now.
I should have bought a Cobra.
Should have bought a Cobra, too, and one of those Daytona
Coupes. When you look in the back of Hot Rod magazine, like in the 80s, and you could buy them for $9,000, I should have bought, like, you know, I'm not buying a house. I'm buying a bunch of Cobras and putting them away.
Yeah. Pete Brock told me a story about after they ran, like, the Daytona Coupes, and they offered them up to employees, like, anybody want one? $8,000 or something. And they're all like, nah, that's a lot of money.
Why do I want an old race car?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we hear it now, and $8,000 was a ton of money.
Yeah.
I mean,
they could give these things away.
You could buy a house for $18,000. So you're going to buy a car for $8,000? You know, I mean, it's.
Yeah. And now, I don't know, what is Daytona Coupe? 14 million, 12 million, something like that.
Yeah.
It's millions.
You know, it's millions.
Millions.
And it's like, it's like now you can buy a house for 14 million and you can buy, one of those 14 million. No, whatever it is.
You can't buy a house in LA for 14 million, right?
Well, it depends on the part of town. You get in a bad area.
If you get in a bad area, you get in there. So, Pete he has a company in Vegas where he makes a car trailer called the Aero Vault. And this is just him going through, like any one of us that have used a trailer or car hauler in the past, going, it'd be better if it was stable on the road. It'd be better if it, you know, if the lights worked. It'd be better if you could make a U-turn in it, and blah, blah, blah. So he just sat down and came up with like all the flaws of a little like single car enclosed trailer, and he created the Aero Vault, which he ramped up. He does all the manufacturing at his own place. It's all on him. He and his wife Gail, who's super sweet, they run the business.
So they're out there like riveting it and wiring it and everything like that.
Wouldn't surprise me.
But what you're saying is that here's a guy who has built some of the most iconic cars, designed some of the most iconic cars, been involved in racing, been involved, you know, kind of the baseline of our motorsports.
Yeah.
And now he's sitting at his house and he's going like, what am I going to do? And so he goes, I'm going to build the trailer I always wanted that I never had. And he just went through line by line and figured everything out.
He did one version and they outsourced the manufacturing, and then he found some, you know, some trial and errors in what he was doing, and then he designed version two and took all the manufacturing in house. And it's an aluminum trailer, and it has like a very cool shaped aerodynamic top that's made out of a composite material, and it's fantastic. It's super strong, it's super stable. You mentioned on the Thunderbird you did the belly pan underneath. Mm-hmm. This trailer is completely flat, aluminum underneath. The axle from the four tires goes through the framework, you know, and it's all
so
aluminum.
It's just a slick surface, lets the air just flow right
and,
under it.
And the small doors in the front, you know, so you can tie down the front of a car, completely sealed, flush the doors. There's basically nothing.
So there's
on
a
it.
Lot of aircraft type.
Yeah.
You know, ingenuity it, into it.
It looks a little like an aircraft without wings. Like, it's pretty cool looking. And it's all aerodynamically tested. And they test it, like, if you're pulling it down the street and you drive past the big rig, you get that weird buffeting and you get a little fishtailing going on. This thing just glides right past it smooth. It doesn't affect it at all. You know, and all the little features that you'd want into it. You know, it has all the great LED
lighting. You're saying it's got all the LED lighting.
You know?
And the tail lights, or excuse me, the backup lights sound really cool.
Yeah, so there's bright LEDs for the reverse lights, and then there's a separate switch. You can just turn them on. They're spotlights if you're loading up at night, right?
Yeah.
There's a winch in the front. It comes with a winch and a battery.
Also, if somebody's tailgating you on the freeway and it's night,
yeah.
You just flip that sucker and blind them, right?
Or just slap it in reverse. Oh, when you're driving your truck and it's hooked up to the trailer, it charges the battery in the trailer, so your winch will work.
Yeah.
You're not going to get to the track and go, damn it, I forgot to charge the battery.
I forgot to charge the
doing
battery.
It. So it's got some pretty cool stuff like that. And then if you raise the trailer, like leave it attached to your truck, just raise it up a little bit and hit the winch button, which is completely wireless remote control, the car just comes right out of the trailer. Everything's smooth and flat. So one person can load and unload a trailer if you wanted to, you know, by just cranking the stand in the front.
Yeah,
you know?
That's cool.
It's got, and the thing I like is, you know, at the front of the trailer, there's I don't know what the exact terms are, but there's the piece with the, you crank it down, it has the wheels that come down.
Yeah.
You can push the trailer around.
Mm-hmm.
These wheels, instead of that one single stupid caster wheel, this has like two like 6-inch round wheels on it. So it's really easy to push around. The whole thing as an enclosed trailer weighs like 2,400 pounds.
What's the floor of the trailer made out of? Do you know?
It's aluminum.
It's aluminum also?
It's aluminum. It has like an aluminum diamond plate. And it's
okay.
Flat. And you can get it with tracks or without the tracks. And then the sides have just tons of hooks, like loops on them. You know, so if you can store stuff on the walls, or you can put ramps on the walls and tie down some tools and all kinds of stuff. It's a badass trailer. You know,
well, I mean, you take people with you to the track. You got to have a place to put them. So you just tie them to the sides.
Yeah. Tie them to the sides. It looks small because the height is kind of small, but there's enough room in the front because it gets round in the front. There's enough room. You can put a set of tires. You can put a toolbox. You can put some gear up there.
Now, I haven't seen it. You haven't showed me a picture of it or anything, but I'm envisioning kind of this Airstream-looking car trailer.
It looks like an Airstream.
Okay, so.
Yeah, it looks kind of like an Airstream, and I know they have somebody that like sent them photos, And a guy turned it into a camping trailer. There's like a bed in there, and there's...
Oh, he turned that trailer into a camping trailer.
Yeah, into a camping trailer. And
what's ironic is we probably, most of the people that have them, they'll tow them with a big brick Suburban or something like that.
Yeah, so Pete has an F-150, but guys tow with the SUVs, like Porsche Cayenne and stuff like that. So I'm going to grab you a quick photo so you can kind of see what I'm talking about.
I mean, you know, it's guys like this that they do sit around and they've got, you know, a little bit of time and they come up with something. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's kind of a hybrid of the old dragster trailers, but much more aerodynamic.
Yeah.
But the height and everything.
Because the front is rounded,
mm-hmm.
when you hook it up to your truck, you get a lot more turning radius, like if you're going to do a U-turn.
I mean, it looks like, you know, all right, this trailer's going to go for the speed record at Bonneville, you know, I mean, with the moon discs
it's
and
got
everything.
The moon disc wheels. And one of the things they thought of was the wheels, there's four, right? So there's two on each side. It's the dual axle.
Right.
With the moon disc on them. They've got the best tire you can get on there for a trailer. And they're balanced, which a lot of trailers don't do. So they were doing, I don't know, 87, 90 miles an hour, something around there, with that trailer. It's perfectly stable. And in between the two axles, instead of having the tires really close together, there's a little bit of gap, like a 12-inch gap in between the two axles, and there's a jacking point on both sides.
Oh, nice.
You know, so not only can you lift it to change the tires, but also if you want to store it and keep the tires off the ground, it's very easy to do.
Now, it's even got a buffeting fin down the center.
It does.
Now, what are they getting for these things?
I think they're like 27, 28 grand. There's a few options on them. They come with most of the options, right? They come with all of the LED lighting. They come with a winch inside. It comes with the battery in it. So there's a few options you can get for it.
So the kegerator is an option?
Right. They fit a Porsche Panamera inside.
Oh, really?
So it's 80 inches wide on the inside, and it's long enough to fit. But here's the deal. It's not an inexpensive trailer. It's pricey for a trailer, but it's got to be the
coolest. Will a Rolls Royce fit inside of it?
I don't know.
I bet you it wouldn't.
It's got to be the coolest, like, enclosed trailer.
Hey, it's very cool.
I don't know if you saw, like, who you follow on Instagram, but somebody posted something on Instagram recently. I think it was the guys at Magnuson Superchargers.
Okay.
I like those guys. They've come in, do CarCast with us in the past. It was like a pickup truck with an open trailer and some cool hot rod muscle car pro touring thing on the back, and the whole rig was flipped over.
Oh,
the truck,
man,
the trailer,
really?
The car, everything was effed up.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. And I don't know what happened, or it just got a little fishtailed, or, you know, like when you drive out to Palm Springs, you hit that windmill area, and it gets super windy out there, mm-hmm. and you just slow down. You're like, this is dangerous as all hell. And, again, one of the reasons why we picked up one of these trailers was – you know, we're going to Monterey. We're bringing that Paul Newman Porsche. That car's millions of dollars. And we want it secure.
We want it safe.
We want to tow it easily. And Pete's like, the stability and the fuel savings, the gas mileage. And he's like, you know, those trailers that has that big V in the front, that doesn't work. That big V in the front.
It hits it
and it diverts the air. But the air... when it comes to the sides, it gets so sharp, it creates all this crazy, like, buffeting.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't flow around, and it's not stable.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And to answer your question, Travel Channel, Motorator, Heather Storm, you asked who I followed. I'm going to read everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone before the end of the show, okay?
Yeah.
Elvis Monroe Official. Let's see here. Somebody named Aaron Davis, I've got... do you want me to continue here?
No.
So, Taylor Swift, Jessica Alba... well, not really.
Once you start getting to, like, all your porn stars and models, and then...
I don't do that, man. I'm like, you know, very, very opposed to that, because my wife looks at my Instagram.
Every day she checks.
History Channel, SEMA Show, Rob Ida, Courtney Hansen, Muffy Bennett, Moon Eyes.
You mentioned Heather Storm, your co-host on Man Seeks Adventure. Her show, Garage Squad, on
starts this week.
Velocity. Yeah, right?
They're an hour now.
Good.
It was 30 minutes. Now it's an hour.
Now it's an hour. Do you know anything about it? Did you talk to her? What are they building? What's the exciting news?
She can't talk about it yet.
Yeah,
because that would
figured.
Be pimping out the things. She didn't,
by the way, this isn't like The Voice or American Idol. They're doing, who's the winner? We can't tell you.
There was a guy's house they went over to. He had a real aluminum-bodied 427 AC Cobra, and they're flaring it. And they're going to put an LS motor in it. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah,
it's going to be a very controversial episode. One of the most expensive to produce also.
Where's Aaron?
Aaron is somewhere in the desert driving. I called him this morning. I said, okay, Aaron, we'll be talking to you at 11. I'm driving. That guy, he's got to be the billion mile club, you know? Because
he drives everywhere.
Drives everywhere. And he is, he went to Vegas. Him and his wife went to Vegas to meet up with some friends, and he said he was driving back. So
did he go to the Britney Spears concert?
Did you see him post that? Yeah.
I wasn't sure if he was going.
This morning, I'm watching the news, and they said at last night's Britney Spears concert at the hotel where she's playing, they said someone jumped up on stage, and security had to grab him and drag him off. And I said, Charlotte, Aaron's going to be on TV.
That's awesome. How would you know it was Aaron? Because it says Aaron on a shirt.
Exactly.
Yeah, it says Aaron on a shirt. Love that guy. I wish he was here doing the show with us, but he's probably hungover from his Britney Spears concert.
Yeah, he's hungover on food. I mean, he if you look at his posts on Instagram, it's just, hey, I'm at Guy Fieri's eating. Hey, I'm at Cabo Wabo eating. Hey, I'm at Guy Fieri's eating. Hey, I'm at Cabo Wabo eating. And I asked him once, I said, Aaron, there's all kinds of restaurants there, man. He goes, oh, yeah, but I get comped at those places. So more power to you, man. You know, get the free food.
Yeah.
But
good. So
you're headed to Monterey.
I'm going to Monterey.
I'm not.
So you and Aaron can hold down the fort next week.
Going to have to if he's not driving somewhere.
I will be drinking wine, eating cheese at the Quail.
Yes, bastard.
Quail Lodge.
I'm going to be
I'll send you some photos to rub it in.
So, yeah, please do. Send us some photos that we can repost and draw mustaches on you guys and stuff like that.
Yeah, we're going to swing by Pebble as well. If anybody wants to come out and say hi, we'll be at the Quail on Friday. We'll be at the track Saturday. And Adam will be driving. And I believe he's got a morning session after noon. I don't know exactly, but I want to say 10:30 in the morning and probably 3:30 in the afternoon. He's got some sessions there, so we'll be at the track. We'll be setting up camp with Bruce Canepa, and he's very easy to spot because
he's got a massive semi
with
the most expensive cars at the track parked out front.
Yeah, he's got a helmet dryer.
Yeah. I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Yeah, you pop your brain bucket off and you stick it on this rack and it blows air in there and it's a
nice
helmet dryer. Yeah,
nice.
That's... Can't wear a sweaty helmet.
No. I mean, all the rich guys have a helmet dryer.
Yeah, so it's not like a guy who sits there and dries the helmet out. It's a machine.
It's a machine. I thought it was a young lady that sat there and went.
No. They're all automated.
It's automated now.
It's all automated now.
That was the old days. Man, I miss those days.
And I'm gonna see your buddy.
Does he have a hair fluffer too?
No. Have you seen Adam's hair? He doesn't.
He just stays. Pushes it back and it stays, huh?
I'm gonna see your buddy Dave Merrick.
I was just gonna say Dave Merrick's gonna be up there for Man Seeks Adventure and this little company called Acura and Honda.
We're going to some Acura event. They're debuting a race car or something. We're going to that.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see Dave there, I'm sure.
You will. And I'm sure you'll see a bunch of other people.
Yeah, it should be good.
And if anybody wants to come by and see me, I'll be here at Bond Speed Wheels. And you can watch me on my Mac, doing some work and probably checking out wheels at the factory. And pushing really hard on all the Hollywood junk I'm working on. So
yeah.
So anyways,
good
for me. That's it. But where can they find us online anytime?
Yeah, so shiftandsteer.com, and we'll throw up that. Remind me, I'll give you the trailer video for the History Channel shows that they're doing. It's like a little trailer.
Yeah, do that. And you know what else we should do, Matt, is we should jump in that Camaro right now, do a little short little video, and we can post that on Shift and Steer. It'll already be up by the time you guys hear this. So go back to our Instagram and check that out.
Yep. Thank you.
Where can they find us?
We're on social media at Shift Steer Media. We're on the Instagram, the Twitter, and the Facebook.
Yes, we are. And at shiftandsteer.com, where we have on demand of any of our shows, any of our videos. Everything's there, plus photo galleries. Check it out. And then go like each of us as well on all of our individual social media. Motorator, and I'm at Bondspeed Brad, and Aaron Hagar. So
I'll be live tweeting, social tweeting, Instagramming from Monterey, whatever.
You'd be a social butterfly.
I'm gonna be eating cheese and be like, picture of a car, picture of me eating.
Look for the cheese between his teeth.
Yeah.
So, all right, everybody, this is another edition of Shift and Steer. I'm Brad Fanshaw.
And Matt DeAndrea.
And Aaron is silent right there in the corner. So, hey, everybody, thanks for listening.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
Eastman Guitars presents the Corolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour, August 22nd in Santa Barbara, California, with Loxy. Baby, let's roll and get it older. No, I don't intend to make you late, but I see a little light inside your head. The Smoking Kills. Just another Southern California. Get your tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com. And all the pretty girls start to look the same. And comedy with your host, Matt Edgar.
Hi, you working high at Chevron?
Yeah.
Good to know, dude. Now I know where to get my weed and gas. I'll put 20 on 10 and 20 on a 10.
And special guest, Taylor Morgan.
And I remember when I got my first check for acting. The check said right on it, actor's fee. And I showed a friend of mine who was like, you know, I really want to frame it because it's the first one, but sort of need $50. And he said, no way, you frame it. I will give you the $50. Which I thought was so nice. So I showed another friend and I was like, you know, really? Frame it.
The Corolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour at Soho Restaurant and Music Club. Follow on Twitter at SohoSB. Sponsored by Eastman Guitars. Visit EastmanGuitars.com. Loxy and the Smoking Kills. Plus Matt Edgar and Taylor Morgan. Tuesday, August 22nd. Get your tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com. Hey,